Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those who are interested in after school and out of school time activities. The Making After School Cool podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education, and I'm your host, Michael Wilson. The topic for this week's podcast is one of a series of podcasts that we'll be exploring project-based learning. According to the Buck Institute for Education, project-based learning is a teaching method in which students learn by actively engaging in real-world and personally meaningful projects. Ultimately, they demonstrate their knowledge and skill by creating a public product or a presentation for a real audience. The project-based learning activity we'll be exploring during this podcast is debate. If you're like me, the only time I really pay attention to the debating skills of an individual are those that are running for president of the United States. So during election time, there's always debates and each candidate argue their perspective on what they would implement if they were elected to be president. However, to be a part of a debate team or to be a good debater, it requires much more skills than what's being displayed on the television set. For example, the purpose for being involved with debate teams is not to argue with your opponent. In fact, to be a good debater, the speaker must connect with their audience and judges in an attempt to convince them that what they are saying is right and what their opponent is saying has flaws. The interesting thing about this skill is that the participant must make the judges agree with their point of view, even if it is something that the student personally does not agree with. The program that we're going to feature in this podcast is Case Debates. To gain some insight on the Case Debate program, I interviewed Tony Candace, who is the program coordinator for Case Debates, Clara McCullough, and Andre Mosley, both who are VISTA volunteers dedicating a year of service to support the needs of the Case Debates program. I hope you enjoy this edition of the Making After School Cool podcast. Welcome back to the Making After School Cool podcast. As stated earlier, we are talking about project-based learning, and our topic for this week is debate. I have with me Tony Candace, who works with the Case Debates program. Tony, can you tell me a little bit about what exactly is it you're doing with Case Debates?
So Case Debates is a program that was started with the Harris County Department of Education, Case for Kids, and in partnership with the Houston Urban Debate League. And so currently, at this point, there are 23 different urban debate leagues, which is very important for providing debate to at-risk youth, primarily high school, but there are some middle school programs that are out there. But in regards to Case Debates, we pretty much provide high school students within Harris County debate activities. So that could be coming to some of our seminars, learning about debate, or being able to have access to free debate tournament. What we try to do is make sure that there is no cost to debate the activity, because what we found is that debate is quite expensive, not only sometimes for schools, but also the students as well. So we're hoping to bridge that gap and being able to provide equal opportunity to students who would be able to participate in the activity.
You brought up some really interesting points. A couple of things that I want to follow up with. You said Houston Urban Debate League.
Yes.
And that there are 23 urban debate leagues.
So, yes.
Is that nationally?
Nationally. So the Houston Urban Debate League is one of the urban debate leagues that's within the national urban debate league.
Well, Tony, I know spearheading a new project and getting it off the ground takes a lot of work. And you do have some help in the form of VISTA volunteers, Clara and Andre. Andre, can you give me a little bit of background information on what your role is as a VISTA volunteer?
We will help build capacity and sustain the program. So we do a lot of, in my case, for Case Debates, we do a lot of tournament support, team support. We help the coaches recruit new students, but a lot of our work is indirectly, because we don't directly work with the students, but we'll help assist the coaches and helping to recruit students. We actually have our newest VISTA now, which is Claire McCullough. She's working on a mentorship program so that we can work with mentors at the various universities, and we can send them out to the schools to help the coaches become better coaches and the debaters come better debaters. But a lot of my work, as I stated before, that deals with capacity building and sustainability is creating materials so that when my service year ends, Case Debates will still be able to access those materials and use them as the years progress.
So, Claire, tell me, what do you think about your experience with Case Debates thus far?
I'm really happy to be a part of Case Debates, especially since it's such a new program, and it really is an exciting time because you get to really be a part of the blueprints and kind of pass that on to the people who come after you.
So this was an activity that you were involved with when you were in high school, excuse me, and this was part of your high school debate team?
Yes. Okay. I ended up being the captain of the debate team.
And what got you interested in debate?
I had this friend in high school, actually, and she was a year older than me, and she kind of was in debate her first year, and she kind of, like, knew me and knew who I was and knew that I, like, really had opinions and I wasn't afraid to stand up for myself and be myself, and so she kind of, like, put me in that space. And I had a very good teacher. It was Mr. Rogers, and he was a very, very good mentor to me and kind of gave me those tools in order for me to be successful, like research, creative thinking, critical thinking especially. And it was honestly just right up my alley. And before I did debate, I had, like, no confidence in myself whatsoever. I was, like, this sad little, like, high schooler who, like, read Sylvia Plath and, like, would just cry in the bathroom. But after, like, I did debate, I was like, hey, I actually do have something to say, and I know how to say it now. And in fact, here's five reasons why I believe this thing. And it really was life-changing for me.
So once a student decides to join a debate team, they meet on their campus with their coaches approximately once or twice a week.
Yes.
And then we, Case Debate staff and people who are assigned to the Case Debate projects, you have tournaments. How often do you have the tournaments?
So our first tournament this year is on October 12th. So we have one in October, we have one in November, December, and I believe January. So we have one at least once a month for 5 months.
Andre, to help the students prepare for the tournaments, Case also sponsors seminars. Can you describe to me what a seminar is like and how does it help the students prepare for debating?
Seminars are extremely important because, as I stated before, we have new students that are just brand new to debate. We also have coaches that have never debated, never been a part of a team, but they understand the importance of debate. And so a seminar is a way that we can invite new coaches, new teams, and even teams who have been around for a while. We invite them all to share a space to learn more about debate. So if you have the newer coaches and new students, that's their introduction to debate. This is where, you know, we have different sessions taught by expert presenters to tell them about, you know, basic argumentation or the specific debate format that they'll be debating in. They can learn more about that. But we also have more advanced coaches and teams that's been competing for more years. But we also have different sessions for them. So I think with debate, the biggest room in the house is room for improvement. So just when you thought that you learned enough, you know, you can always become better. So I think the seminars create a space where, you know, it's that the professional development aspect of debate. You know, they're going there, they're learning new strategies, new ways to approach the topic. We also have a topic analysis where with both CX, there's an expert to give a broader understanding of what that topic is all about. And then we also have the World's Motion, where we also have an expert come in and talk to the students about the broader aspects of what that topic is all about. So it's basically a lot of good information, a lot of good tools that the students can use and prepare them for their first tournament. I think it's important to add that some of our students, you know, they go on their summer break. You have some students that they go off and they compete in other tournaments, but you also have other students who, after case debates, there's nothing else. So it's kind of like that warm-up. It's like, hey, we're starting our new 2019-2020 debates here. Let's get you thinking about debate. Let's get you learning about debate, get you back into that debate mode. And I think that's what the seminar encompasses.
And so, Tony, with you, you had to actually go forth out and talk to different schools and school districts and first sell them on the virtues of debate, then go to the campuses and talk to students who didn't have any, I would assume, had very little prior experience with debate teams, debate skills, maybe didn't even know what debate was. So can you share a little bit of that experience and what it was like?
Yes, so that experience, of course, was very rewarding within itself, but yes, having to go out and try to get people to understand the power of debate and why it's important to students. There is a lot of academic components to participating in debate, especially critical thinking, teamwork, collaboration. There's a lot of other, so a lot of times that students, when they are debating, it's not just so that you can be heard, but also that you hear your opponent as well. So there's a lot of active listening and engagement that happens, just learning how to actually have dialogue with people, whether you agree or you disagree. There's a lot that comes with just learning how conversations work, and it builds on social skills. So when going out to some of the campuses, either I am trying to convince a principal why it's important, and usually a lot of times they would want to know the academic benefits of students participating in debate, which of course, based on research, almost over 90% of students who participate, they actually graduate from high school and they matriculate onto college. Not only are they going to college, they're actually finishing college. And so that's sometimes things that principals would like to know and would like to hear, is that this is an activity that's going to help enhance my students' knowledge. For teachers, for the most part, they're kind of like, this sounds like a great opportunity, but are kids really going to want to do this? You know, because they're not sure if the kids would really gravitate to the activity, but it turns out they do. So I'm not the only person, I would say, that had to go out and try to help recruit students and things like that. So Claire, as a vice, has been very helpful in being able to share her story. A lot of what works in convincing kids in to be able to compete in the activity is hearing from someone else who's actually done it, right? Someone who's actually been that high schooler who participated in debate, so she can paint a picture through her storytelling and sharing a little bit about herself. And so that's, to me, has been very successful in recruiting a lot of our students, is really just telling the story, the voice. And there's multiple different people that you tell your story to, but
Now, you stated also that traditionally there is a high cost with being involved with debate. So what is CASE doing to offset some of those expenses?
So what we do is we don't charge an entry fee. So traditionally in debate, there are fees. There's many fees that a school could be charged or a team could be charged just to compete. So there's, I'll give an example. There might be a $100 fee just for a team of two kids. You know, it's $50 per student, and it's a team of two kids, just as an entry fee. Then there's also judging fees as well. So some tournaments charge the school or the debate coach a fee for judges. They would typically have to judge they'll judge not their own students, but they'll judge another debate round. And then they're basically having to cover the cost of recruiting other paid judges. And so that's some of the things that we're doing. So we don't charge any entry fees. Another barrier that we are actually addressing is transportation. So in Harris County, it's pretty large. I think it's over 4 million people that live within Harris County. I think it's 4.4 million people that live there. And we're pretty spread out all over the place. Typically, there is no public transportation outside of the Houston city limits. Many of our schools are not on a bus line, so they wouldn't be able to travel to the tournaments. So we cover the cost of the buses. So we pay for the buses, so you get there. There's no entry fees. We also pay a stipend to the coaches to help support them for their time. They actually have to spend a lot of time after school prepping the kids and teaching the kids about debate, but then also spending almost nearly 12 hours on a Saturday, at the debate competition. And so, of course, we want to make sure that we want to keep them engaged too and compensate them for the time that they're spending teaching this activity to the kids. And then more so, to cover these costs, the food is free for them to be able to pay for food while they're gone. A lot of our programs are coming from school where they have high free and reduced lunch. And so if at school they're having a free meal, they're participating on the weekend, we don't want them to have to miss a meal either.
We provide that
for them.
Good. So the actual competition stage of debating, since these are newly developed teams, within the case debate, is that sort of a league where you have a series of tournaments, and then depending on how those teams perform during those tournaments, they may participate in some outside tournaments? Is that how it traditionally works?
Yes, so that's how it works for us. So we provide at least 4 tournaments throughout the year, and for varsity. So we are lucky enough now to have a junior varsity and varsity. So for our varsity debaters, they actually matriculate into another tournament. So it's called the Huddle City Championship. So the Houston Urban Debate League that I mentioned earlier, they host a championship tournament. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, but the Houston Urban Debate League initially only had programs in one school district. And so only one school district was able to benefit from having access to free debate tournaments. That's been one of HCDE and Huddle's partnership, is that Huddle was able to expand this model onto other school districts, through the support of us providing this for them.
Well, thank you, Tony, for providing such a great service for so many students who probably otherwise would not be engaged in debate. I appreciate you taking time to speak with me and being a part of our Making After School Cool podcast. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Making After School Cool podcast, where our topic was featuring the case debate program. I want to thank our guests, Tony Candace, Andre Mosley, and Claire McCullough, for their input in helping to make this podcast a success. We hope you join us on the second part of this podcast, where I'll actually interview a case debate alum, as well as hear Andre and Claire's experience when they were actual debaters.